he's been living down in Selma, and I'll let him, if he wants to give any background about that, he certainly can. And I think what he has to share, on the one hand, it wouldn't really matter where he was living, whether it was Selma or whether it was any place else. That really wouldn't matter. It just happens to be that way. He's at right now, and the Lord has really been moving in his life in regards to, call it marketplace ministry. And the last clericus that we had, the bishop had been talked to the clergy and the wives that were there, just on some of his experiences, just sharing some of what the Lord's been moving in his life, and then some of the testimonies as a result of that. And in some ways, hopefully, what he has to say will not be new to many of you, but I hope it will be a tremendous encouragement for all of you. So, as a way of introducing, I guess, to a certain extent, where the Lord may take him and take us. When you think of demonic oppression being over an area, how do you confront it? How would you confront demonic oppression that would be in an environment and over an area? Well, one way would be to go chasing after devils. Or another way would be to push in for the miraculous. And when you push in for the miraculous, what happens is you run directly into conflict. And that conflict raises persecution. In a certain sense, that's what the gospel is about too. You pursue the miraculous, then you're running into every single demonic stronghold that is in an area. In an area or a person's life, every single time. That's what the miraculous does. The miraculous confronts that. And instead of worrying about chasing devils or practicing the presence of the enemy, it's focusing on the Lord and seeing what it is that he does. Remember my sharing with you that if you do a little bit of history study, you'll find that those early Christians right after Pentecost, you have 120 people who have no influence, they have no resources, and yet they grow exponentially. And one of the questions that theologians and historians begin to raise is, how come? Because in that initial culture, the culture looked at Christians, and their assessment of it was that they were atheists because they only believed in one God. They were cannibals because they talked about eating the body and blood of Jesus, right? And they obviously were immoral because they had these love feasts, and they just figured that it was all these sexual orgies that was going on. And then in the process of watching Christianity engage in the environment, that whole thing began to change because of the healings that Christians were doing and deliverances that Christians were doing and their willingness to work with the poor. It was those three things that so began to impact the culture, the healings, the deliverances, and working with the poor, that the whole view of who these Christians were began to change. And the last thing before David comes up here is I have shared with you the whole idea of how to talk about evangelism. You can talk about evangelism, you can break it up into categories as a way of trying to articulate it so you can get kind of an illustration, a word picture of what that is. One of those is presentation. That is like the Bill Bright, the Campus Crusade, the tracts. The other is presence, the whole idea of presence, that you are trying to make a presence in the society. We can talk about that, the social gospel. Well, the third way of doing evangelism would be power evangelism, and that is the whole idea of, if you like, working with the gifts. And as I have suggested, we certainly need all three, presence and presentation and power. But I think what happens a lot in the church in America is we don't see a lot of power. We have maybe a market on the presence, maybe even a little bit of market on the presentation, but not so much about the power. My presumption is we have been exposed to that enough here that we have some working knowledge of that, but do we have the experience of it? So all he's going to do is, at least I'm presuming, is to share some of that with us about that journey. What does it mean to be willing to get right engaged in conflict. And to recognize that when we do that, we share in the Lord's glory. It's His glory, not ours. He just chooses to share it. Amen? You might talk a little bit about when you were dealing with the youth group.
Yeah, awesome. Can you guys, can is this working? Okay, awesome. Awesome. Well, that was a really good word right there. I could almost stop there. One thing I love about Father Mark is that he wears Chacos all the time. I love Chacos as well, and I would have worn them today, but I wasn't sure if that was appropriate or not. So, but that worship was awesome. You guys did an awesome job. I mean, I just feel the Spirit of the Lord here. Just so present. But have you heard of Rita Springer? Okay, I just feel like you have that anointing on you. I think the whole worship team, you have that anointing. It's like the presence-oriented, like 24/7 prayer kind of worship anointing you guys have. So that was just really awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit today about manifesting Jesus everywhere we go. And we're going to talk about that a little bit specifically. But as we were sitting there in worship, and I'm just looking at Jesus, you know, on the cross, it's like the exchanged life. We give Him our life. We get everything that He is. Everything He is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Everything Jesus did, He does through us. And I feel like that's just the cornerstone for everything we're going to talk about is Christ. And I wasn't sure when to do this, so I didn't want to hand him out, but we can go ahead and do this now if that's okay. Thank you very much for here, I'm going to hang on to one of these. Thank you. This is just a declaration that somebody named, oh my goodness, Mike Hutchings. I lost his name for a second. Mike Hutchings wrote this. It's just a declaration reminder of who we are in Christ that I just want us to read out loud together when everybody gets one. Okay, does everybody have one? Does anybody? Okay, y'all are missing. Gotcha.
Tim?
Okay. We're just going to read this out loud together, okay? You guys ready? In fact, let's just stand up real quick, if you guys don't mind, and just read this out loud together. Okay, here we go. I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. All things have become new. I am in Jesus. Jesus is in me. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I am a child of the King. I am a co-heir with Jesus. All Jesus bought and paid for is my inheritance. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am cleansed by the blood. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am filled with His Spirit. I am united with Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with Him. I was buried with Him. I was raised with Him. I am seated with Him in the heavenlies, far above all rule, all power, all authority, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Therefore, I carry the authority of Christ. I have authority over sickness, over sin, over demons and over the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am more than a conqueror. I am the light of the world. All things work together for my good because I love God and I am called according to his purpose, which is for me to be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ. I can do all things through Christ because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I have a destination. I am going to heaven. In the meantime, I have an assignment. I bring heaven to earth. Everywhere I go, the kingdom of God goes. God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. I am a carrier of God's glory. Where I go, the atmosphere changes. I am a culture shaper, an atmosphere changer, a history maker. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, well, Jesus, we just welcome you here, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you're here. I just thank you for this awesome church. And just share what you want to share, Lord, in Jesus' name. So when Father Mark was over at in Selma for the Clericus, I was thinking about this passage in Isaiah, and I was just sharing with them this thought, like, if you could sneak up on God, what would you catch him doing? You know, what does he think about, you know, when he's just, I mean, he doesn't really have free time. It's kind of weird to think of it like that, but what does he just think about? You know, when I'm driving, I think about certain things. Like, if you just snuck up on me in my room, you'd probably find me, like, reading a book or, like, watching YouTube video or something, you know, just doing something like that. But, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but in Isaiah, when Isaiah first encounters the Lord, it's almost like he's a fly on the wall, sort of, in the throne room. He gets this entrance into the throne room of God. And he's taken up into the throne room, and he's just undone by his uncleanness in the light of God's glory. And so an angel comes with a coal and purifies Isaiah. And then once he's purified, he hears the voice of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, and in the original language, it's this continual progressive language, who shall I send? Who will go for me? And it's like he's always saying, who shall I send? Who will go for me? Who shall I send? Who will go for me? Who shall I send? Who will go for me? It's the passage from Psalm 139. You know, countless. His thoughts toward us are countless. So God is up there. We're not up there. He's here. But and he's always thinking about us. He's always thinking about people. Every person you encounter, everywhere you go, God's thinking about them. He has thoughts for them. And what Bishop tells us all the time at CTK is everywhere you go, you're in Christ. Everywhere you go, you're sent. You're sent there. Who will I go? Who will I send? Who will go for me? When you go to Walmart, you're not just in Walmart just because you needed to pick up some stuff. You know, you're in Christ. You're sent. You're sent there. When you talk to your cashier, okay, you were sent to that person. Because you are in Christ, and Christ is living his life through you. It's interesting to me, like, throughout the New Testament, I was thinking about, like, when Jesus turned water into wine, or in Acts, he used Ananias to talk to Saul. You know, right now around the world, you know, and a lot of you know this. If you don't, it's really cool. A majority of Muslims are coming to Jesus because they have a vision of Jesus in a dream, or an open vision, or they see some miracle that the Lord does. I won't turn that way too much. So God does do a lot of things just by himself. You know, he'll just show up to somebody. But even in those situations, he winds up sending them to somebody. And so it's like, for some reason, God has chosen to reveal salvation through us. For some reason, he's chosen vessels. And we're his vessels. And it's grace. It's grace. It's nothing we have to earn. You know, it's not for the perfect or the holy. We are in Christ. But for some reason, God's chosen to reveal Christ through us. Okay, that we're his plan A. And I don't know if you knew that or not. So a lot of times, if we're not out praying for people, people aren't going to get healed. If we're not sharing the gospel, people aren't going to hear about Jesus. And, you know, what I love about what we're going to talk about is because I love it. Because you're not, when I'm, you know, I love the word evangelism now. I didn't used to, because I used to feel like, okay, I've got to work something up. I've got to try to sell something to somebody, you know, got to try to convince them that they're sinful or something and that they need Jesus, you know, or I have to try to do this sales pitch and that. And what I love about the way Jesus does it is he just manifests heaven everywhere he goes, and people come to the Father because he says, all who the Father draw, they're going to come to me. And it's way more fruitful. It's just way more fruitful to just hear what the Father has to say, to hear what the Spirit has to say, and to share that. So we're going to talk about that in a couple ways. I see the clock back there. I'm just kind of trying to get a gauge for when I need to.
You're good.
Okay. So, okay. Awesome. So we're going to talk about that in a couple different ways. We're going to talk about the prophetic, and we're going to talk about healing, both of which the Lord wants to do everywhere we go. But there's more than that. I mean, I want to talk about those two specifically because I feel like there's just some practical things that I can share with you there. But really, it's just God can do an infinite number of things, okay? Just the other day, I was in Walmart, and I'd gotten off the phone with somebody. It was just super encouraging. And I saw this lady, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me I have something for her. And I didn't know what it was, but I saw her, and I was like, I don't know. She was just highlighted to me. And so I went up to her, and I said, what I heard come out of my mouth was, God loves you. Very simple. And she just broke down. And she said, I need somebody to love me. She worked at Walmart. She was working that day, and she just said, I need somebody to love me. I need somebody to love me. And so I just began to share with her some things that the Lord was putting on my heart for her, and she had to go away. Very short, you know, 10-second interaction. But the Lord wants to do this everywhere we go. So in talking about being used by the Lord, there's something I want to talk about first. And that is this thing we kind of have to get over that's kind of at the root of being used by the Lord. And that is we have to be willing to step out in faith. And a lot of you guys know this. It's kind of a cliche now at CTK, is how do you spell faith? Does anybody know how you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Yeah, R-I-S-K. So one of my favorite passages about this is when Jesus turns the water into wine. And I promise you, we're going to get into some practicals of healing and prophecy. But this is just so important because for some reason, the Lord loves to move in this place where we're out of our depth. And if you want to see him move, go get out of your depth. Okay. When Jesus turns the water into wine, and some of the youth have heard this when they came to CTK, but I just love this. It's in John chapter 2, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Jesus's mom comes up to Jesus and says, hey, they're out of wine. And Jesus says, you know, what's that got to do with me? My hour isn't here. Not a great thing to say to your parents, by the way, kids. My hour is not here. Don't try that at home. But then Jesus' mother says, do whatever he tells you. So he tells the servants, do whatever. So Jesus tells the servants, okay, I want you to go get some water. See that water, those water, go get those jars, fill them with water, okay, and then go bring it to the master of the banquet. Okay, very interesting. Jesus could have, like I said earlier, he could have just, okay, there's wine now. He could have done that. But instead, he involves people in the process. And he gets the servants and he says, okay, go fill this with, okay, you want me to fill this with water? They need wine. I don't know if you heard them, Jesus, but they don't need more water. They do whatever he tells you. So they go, they get the water. And then he says, now go take it to the master of the banquet. And it's like, okay, you want me to take this water to the master of the banquet? Okay. And so they do it. They have faith. And The thing about faith is it's just a mustard seed, okay? You don't have to, like I've heard someone say, you know, faith is not just believing God can do it, but that he will do it. And that's true. But sometimes my faith, I'm telling you, he takes a mustard seed. I'm just telling you that right now. And I had one guy come up to me, and we prayed for him, and he said, well, maybe I don't have enough faith. And I said, you coming up here was enough faith. Okay, you have faith with your feet. That's what drives our faith. So anyway, they brought the water up to the master of the feast, and they handed him water. And it's just hard for me to imagine, you know, you're going up, and you're just a lowly, like you're nobody, and you're going to the master of the banquet, and when he drinks it, it's turned wine. And so often, it's in that place of us stepping out. If we want to be used by the Lord, and trust me, he wants to use us. And it's not just that he wants to use us, it's like you were saying, the glory of Jesus manifesting himself through us. It's really easy. Miracles are the easiest thing in the world because we don't do them at all. Miracles are so easy because we just step out in the name of Jesus and see what he wants to, just see what he does. I mean, I'm serious. And I feel I needed to say that because that's just kind of the foundation for being in Christ and being used by the Lord. And being willing to look stupid sometimes. I mean, I'm serious. It's okay if you feel like you look dumb. I look dumb all the time. I feel like I look dumb right now, but that's okay. So I want us to talk a little bit about the prophetic in evangelism. And when I feel like the prophetic can look like a lot of different things. Before we do any kind of outreach, we get in a group and we just say, Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you show us give us clues of people that you want us to see? And then we'll go out from there. And so you might get let me think of an example here. So yesterday, 2 days ago, we've had some challenging situations at Christ the King with people getting, you know, fatally sick and stuff like that. And so I just wanted to go out and pray for people, you know, get even a little bit, you know what I mean? So I went out and I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, will you show me who, will you give me a clue? And you don't have to do this every time, but I was like, will you give me a clue of who I'm going to see? And I heard the name Nancy, 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 Nancy. And so I walked around Walmart. I didn't see a Nancy, but I did see a lady with, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about somebody's knee, and I got to pray for her knee. But when I got back to the house, my roommate said, my friend Nancy is really struggling with stomach stuff right now. I was like, okay, well, let's call Nancy up. And so we called up Nancy, and she had some stomach things, and we got to pray for her. And she said when we were praying, she felt this, like, tugging something going on in her stomach. I need to call them back to see, you know. So the prophetic is more than just, okay, I'm giving you a prophetic word. It's the whole move is prophetic. But the Lord does want to speak prophetically into people's life. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you can prophesy, okay? I just want to let you know that right now. Because Christ in us. So, do y'all feel like doing a little activity? Would that be okay with you guys? Faith, would you like to exercise a little of this risk thing? Okay, awesome. So, let's go ahead and stand up and pair up with somebody. So just go ahead and stand up. I didn't tell you I was going to do this. I'm sorry, I didn't know I was going to do this. And just pair up with somebody. Okay, raise your hand if you don't have somebody to pair up with. Okay, you two can. Him right there. Do you have somebody? You got her? Okay. You can pair up with me if you want, if we have an odd number. Well, trust me. Okay. you might not. okay, listen, so I'm going to pray for us in just a minute. And you guys know this, you've been doing this for years, but we're in union with the mind of Christ. So he said, if you ask me for bread, I won't give you a stone. So we're going to ask him for a word. And you may think, okay, this is just my thought, but trust that the Lord is speaking to you, that he's giving you something. It's not always this like overwhelmed, like, oh man, I'm getting like shaking and now I can prophesy. We're in union with the mind of Christ. So who here, and this is, let me phrase it this way. Who has given prophetic words in here before? Raise your hand. Okay. There's quite a few of you. So you could call it a word of encouragement. You can call it whatever you want to, it is prophecy. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask Jesus, will you give me a word of encouragement for this person? And then just be quiet for a second and go with what the first thing that comes to your mind is and trust that that's the Lord. Okay? So I'm going to pray real quick and then I'll give some further instructions. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you that you're here. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you to release your prophetic gift here. Father, I pray that you would stir up the gift of prophecy in every single person in this room, in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that you want to speak. You died for every single one of us in here, and Lord, you have things to say. So just release your gift now in Jesus' name. Okay, so if you're the taller person, you're going to go first, okay? And here's what I want you to say. So here's how I would approach somebody on the street. There are a number of ways. And this is what people have the biggest trouble with, and it's actually the easiest part, is just initiating the conversation. So say you're in Walmart, you see somebody, you're like, God, I feel like God has a word for this person. And you may get what it is. You can do this a number of ways. What I'm going to say to us today is a certain way you can do it. But a lot of times I'll go up to somebody and I'll say, hey, this may sound crazy, but I feel like the Lord highlighted, I'm a Christian, and sometimes I hear the Lord speak to me for people. Do you want to hear what he has to say for you? Very simple. And most of the time they're like, yeah. And a lot of times the Lord really moves. So if you're the taller person, I want you to face the person you're with. And just in your heart right now, we're going to take just a few seconds, just ask the Lord, Jesus, will you give me a word of encouragement for this person? And just wait for him. Okay, now if you're the taller person, I want you to say this. Just repeat after me. This is just a little practice. I'm a Christian. And sometimes when I look at people, God shows me things. And when I look at you, okay, and then go ahead and just share what the Lord's showing you. Okay, did everybody, sorry, that's kind of short, but okay, if you were encouraged by that, I want you to raise your hand. Were you encouraged by that? Okay. All right, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so the Lord just shared encouragement. And sometimes as you're prophesying, he'll give you specific things for people as well, by the way. And I'll share a bit more about that in a second, but it's okay, now it's the other person's turn, so just look at the person, ask Holy Spirit, Jesus, will you give me a word for this person? Just take a few seconds. Okay, now go ahead and say, I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
And sometimes when I look at people,
God shows me things.
And what I see when I look at you,
what I see when I look at you
is, and then just go ahead. Okay, who all was encouraged? I was. I was very encouraged by that. All right. Well, thank you, Jesus. So you can return to your seats. So one time, a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a couple months ago now, I was in Pennsylvania at this school, and we had this guy come in who is a prophet, and his name is Dale Mast. And he said, I'm a prophet not because I can prophesy. I'm a prophet because I believe you can prophesy. And so he trained us in prophecy. You know, the Bible says that the gifts, the offices are for the building up of the body of Christ, for the works of ministry. So he did this training on prophecy, and he did a little activity sort of like what we just did. And then we went out on the streets. My team, we went into this mall, okay? And I went up to this jewelry register or whatever, and I said, hey, we're out praying for people. Do you guys need prayer for anything? They said, no, basically you're crazy, you know, get away, you know. But right after that, I bumped into this guy who was at the Sprint store, and he was selling phones. And this is my favorite story from that trip. And he said, do you want to buy a phone? He was a young guy. And I said, well, I'm from Alabama, so I don't know, you know, if Sprint would even work there. But I'm just here with the team praying for people. And he said, well, I don't really have a religion. I think they're all kind of the same, probably. And I said, okay. And then I said, well, do you mind if I ask Jesus to show me something about your life? I had nothing, okay? I'd never done that before at this point. I normally would wait until the Lord gave me something to try to give a word to somebody. But this prophetic guy really challenged us that you're not, God, like, I think he loves to be put on the spot. So I went and he said, sure, you know, why not? You can ask Jesus to tell me. So I just said out loud, Jesus, will you show me something for this guy? And I just started, I was able to just, honestly, I just opened my mouth and just said what came out. and I was like, the Lord showed me that he was a musician that wrote some dark music, but that God was going to turn it into like brighter music, that he was having some financial struggles, that he always felt like he was on the outside of groups and stuff like that. And some of y'all have heard this before. And he was just like, whoa, how do you know this? How do you know this? And I said, it's Jesus. Jesus is real. He died, he rose, and he sent the Holy Spirit. And he's showing me this stuff. And this kid said, well, I've actually been researching Christianity, and now I know that Jesus is actually God. And he was going to start looking for a church and things like that. Just last week, or maybe a week and a half ago, I was at Winn-Dixie, which is a little grocery store. I don't know if y'all have those here. And there's this guy that the Lord just highlighted to me. And so I just walked up to him, and I said, hey, this may sound crazy, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to come talk to you. And he was like, you're the fifth person that's told me that. And they weren't from our church either. He said, I've had five ministers come up to me in the last so often telling me that the Lord told him to come talk to me. And I just had this picture of us holding hands and him asking Jesus into his life. But I didn't say anything. And so we were just, I said, it sounds like the Lord is after you. And he said, yeah, I know. And he said, how do you get saved? And I was like, just, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, yeah. Do you believe he died for us? Yes. He rose from, and I said, okay, let's just pray with me. And so we took hands and we prayed. He had a kidney issue that he was really worried about as well. So we prayed for that. And he accepted, you know, Jesus into his life. And it was super easy. I mean, it was easy. It was just like fruit, just like ready to come off. And it's like, when we're in the Spirit, I'm not telling you it's going to be like that every single time, but I can tell you every single time, the Lord is going to do something, even if you don't see it. He's going to sow a seed. Even if you give a word that's a really terrible word, and they go home and they're like, I can't, this stupid person, like they told me God told them, they're still going to talk about God more than they've talked about God, you know, in a long time. So, Sean Bowles talked about that, and I was like, that's really good. So it's just being attuned to the Spirit and stepping out. So I hope getting a picture of that. It's not always comfortable. In fact, it's okay. It's good that it's not always comfortable. And the prophetic is really tied in with healing, but it doesn't always have to be. Like, you could get and some of you guys are more experienced in this, and you're going to get more, I don't know, you're just more gifted in this. And I hate to even use that word, because we can all walk in all of the gifts, but some of you in this room, I'm just prophesying this now, you're going to see an increase in prophecy, and you're going to see an increase in specific details that God's going to give you for people. If you just have the boldness to step out and give it and be wrong. If you're wrong, it's okay. But I'm telling you, I've been really praying for words of knowledge, and I drove through Taco Bell maybe a couple months ago, and my ankle started hurting, and I'm going to share about words of knowledge in a minute. I don't want to go too late. And I said, hey, is your ankle hurting? She said, no, why? I was like, you know, I felt like God showed me someone's ankle was hurting, and I missed it. But the next day, I was at our Eucharist service, and someone walked past me, and I felt this pain shoot down my back through my leg. And I said, do you have this pain? And she said, yeah, I have that exact pain right there where you pointed it out. And it was a sciatic nerve, and I didn't know about that at the time, and I got to pray for her. And so what I'm saying is, he who's faithful with little is faithful with much. A lot of times if you step out, like, God's going to start increasing in that area. It's just what I've observed. I don't know how to show you that in the scriptures, but except for the one who's faithful with little is faithful with much. But another area that we've seen the Lord move in is in healing. And the Lord, I'm telling you, this is... prophecy is for everybody. The whole ministry of Jesus is for the whole body of Christ. When Peter, in Acts chapter 3, they saw the lame person, they didn't have any, they said, silver or gold, we don't have any, but we have, we give to you. That guy got healed in the name of Jesus. All the people were freaking out. They came up to Peter and they were like, oh my gosh. And what Peter said to them is, why do you look at us as though by our power or our piety, we've done this, okay? So these gifts are not, they're gifts. They're not rewards. They're gifts. So that it doesn't matter. It's not about how holy we are, which is another problem people can get into, is thinking that this validates them. Anyway, how much time do you have left? Okay. Because I want to do some practical things about healing, okay? And I want to share some stories real quick. So I just want to share this story. This was maybe 3 weeks ago, thinking of a more recent one, but this was just about 3 weeks ago. We had our Lazarus weekend, which there's always a lot of warfare around that, and I went to the gas station, and I was like, Lord, would you give me a word of knowledge? I just want a word of knowledge. Like, and my hip started hurting, and my hip and my back started hurting. And so I was like, well, that could be, because then you have to do something about it, you know? Then you're like, okay, now I got to... do something about this. Like, God just gave me, he just answered my prayer. Now I've got to get uncomfortable. But then I was like, it's probably for someone inside the gas station. It's childlike faith, you know, childlike faith. So I was like, okay, but there are people in there. So I just took a block and I came back and I went inside the store and I said, okay, hey, you guys, this may sound crazy, but I feel like the Lord showed me that someone in here, they have pain in their hip and pain in their back. And they just froze. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I missed it. You know, that's okay. And they said, well, it's so crazy. I can't believe you just said that. Because we were just talking before you just came in here that my hip is hurting and her back is hurting. And so there were two of them. And so the girl with the hip, I got to pray for the lady with the hip pain. And the Lord healed her. And so then I went over to the lady with the back pain and she started sharing with me. I was in a train accident a few years ago. And, you know, I love Jesus. I've never been baptized. But anyway, I got to pray for her back and the Lord took her pain from like a level 8 or 9, I don't remember, to like a level 2 or 3. It just like drastically removed her pain from her back. And then she started talking about, you know, I've never been water baptized. I actually really need a church. Never been to church, or I don't have a church right now. And I got to share with her about our church and finding a church and things like that. And the Lord, I'm telling you, more than anything I've seen, when people get a taste of the Father, when they get a taste of the kingdom, it's like you're not just telling them about Jesus anymore. You're showing people Jesus. You're giving them, you're facilitating with them an encounter with the Lord. And they're like, I want more of this. I want, like, I need a church. They start bringing up the religious stuff, like really like the woman at the well when Jesus was like, hey, you're living with all these people. And she's like, oh, where am I supposed to worship? So I want to share some practical things about healing. And you don't always need a word of knowledge, by the way. I know I've shared a lot of those examples, but basically the way I operate is if you're wondering if you should pray for somebody or not, the answer is yes. Because it's fun. And even if the Lord doesn't heal them in that moment, which honestly, a lot of times he will, people still feel like they get encounters with the Lord. So I'm going to share. So here's how I would do this. And I'm going to share some more practical things. I would go up to somebody and I would say, I'm a Christian, you know, and sometimes when I pray for people, God will heal them. Do you want me to pray for you? That's kind of one way, just a generic way that I, but I want to talk about words of knowledge for a second, and then we're going to jump into a prayer model that I really like. But I want you to be aware of words of knowledge and how the Lord may give them to you. Just because if you're not aware of them, you may get a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge is just, okay, the Lord revealing a fact about somebody. But in the physical, it's a faith builder. Like if I go up to somebody and say, hey, is your right knee hurting? And it is. That's instantly a faith. I mean, it's a real boost I've found. So we had one of our youth go on an outreach with us, and he got a word of knowledge, but he didn't know it was a word of knowledge. He just thought his knee just started hurting randomly. And so that's why I just want you guys to be aware of this. So in the Vineyard movement, God can show you anything he wants, any way he wants, okay? I'm not trying to limit God or put him in any kind of box. I'm just wanting us to be aware of some ways that he may be communicating with you about a physical need to somebody around you. So I'm going to give you 7 ways that they have seen that the Lord can give you a word of knowledge. And we've seen a lot of these. Okay, and one of them I've already talked about. The first one is you can feel it. So you may feel a pain in your body that you don't normally feel. And at that point, especially if you're praying, if I'm praying for somebody and I start feeling that, then I'll ask them, do you have any pain in your knees? If I'm, or in your left knee or right knee or in this part or that part. And with words of knowledge, you know, don't get disheartened if it's not, but a lot of times the Lord will give you accurate stuff. So you can feel it, you could think it. So you may just, a lot like what we just did with the prophetic, you may just have a thought like, I wonder if this person has this, and you can just ask them. You could dream it. The first time that I saw someone, second time I saw someone get healed, was, I guess, in February or March. I had a dream. And this, Randy Clark, he said that in Africa, they dream words of knowledge a lot. But I had this dream that I was in this public place, and there were these two Mexican guys. One was taller, one was shorter. And the taller guy, he had pain in his hip and in his knees, and I prayed for him, and the Lord healed him. And I woke up, and I was like, that's a cool dream. Awesome. Like, I wish that would actually happen, you know. And I went to Walmart and I was watching Bishop Chuck. He was doing this broadcast about being in Christ and he shared about someone getting healed. And I just typed in that and I said, you know, I had this dream last night. I'm tired of just dreaming about this stuff. Like, I want to see this. And he said, start looking for the person. And then I looked around and I saw those two people from my dream in Walmart. I'm not even kidding you. And there's a faith element to it because they didn't look exactly, but it was they were both, you know, Mexican people front, and one of them was taller, one of them was shorter. So I went up to the taller guy, and I said, "Hey, this may sound crazy, but you were in a dream I had last night, and you had pain in your knees." And he just started freaking out. I mean, he's not a Christian. He started cussing. He was like, "How do you know that? How the heck do you know that? What? Are you some kind of psychic?" And I said, "No, it's Jesus." And he was like, he was turning to his friend. His friend kind of like walked away. He was like, not very. And so I was like, "Yeah, Jesus showed me. Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Sure." And so I just prayed, you know, "In the name of Jesus, Lord, would you just remove all pain from his knees now in the name of Jesus?" And I shared the gospel with him, and I walked away, and I was like, I need to go ask him how he feels. And when I walked back, he was doing this, and I was like, "Man, how are your knees?" And he said, "That's what I'm saying. I'm freaking out because they feel better, and like I don't even believe this stuff." And I was like, "Well, this is Jesus, you know." And he said, "Well, if it works," I was like, "Man, he's God, you know." And just shared the gospel with him for a minute. So you can dream it. And Lord, I just pray you would release dreams and words of knowledge in more measure in Jesus' name. You could get a picture. So one time, and again, it's childlike faith, okay? You may think, "Wow, why did I just have that picture?" It's childlike faith, okay? You may not hear, like, God open the heavens, say, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear. Here's this image," you know. But I just had this picture. We were asking for words of knowledge. I just got this picture of, like, an x-ray of somebody's knee, but the kneecap was like not bone, it was something else. So when we went out, the first person we met, they had just had knee replacement surgery. And so we got to pray for them. But it's childlike faith. You know, I'll see some things sometimes that I don't see when I'm out. And so you could have an open vision. I've never had that before, but an open vision is when it's not just in your mind. It's like you're opening your eyes. And some of you guys have probably had open visions before, but it's like God just takes over and he's showing you something of actual vision, like an open vision. And in that open vision, they added you could read them. So sometimes people will see a word written over somebody that would be the word of knowledge. Like I remember one time, or I was reading, I wasn't there, I don't know why I said remember, but I was reading John Wimber said he saw the name of a woman. He was in an airplane and he saw the name of a woman written over this guy's head. So he went over to them and he said, "Who is, you know, so-and-so?" And the guy just turned beet red. And he was having an affair with this lady. And anyway, he got to lead this guy to the Lord through that. And the final one, I've also not experienced this, is you could smell them. I was at Global and they were asking for words of knowledge, and some guy smelled sulfur, and he said, "I smell sulfur." And one lady raised her hand and said, "My daughter is taking a sulfur medication for bipolar disorder." So they got to pray for the bipolar disorder. So those are some words of knowledge and some ways that you may receive them. So just be aware of that. And really, the only way to know is just to go for it. I know it's scary, okay, but you just have to go for it. And I'm at the point now, like when I was at Walmart yesterday, I started feeling pain in my knee. It was persistent. I don't usually get pain there, but I had no idea who it was for. And that's kind of where I'm trying to grow. It's like, how do I know sometimes who it's for? And so I stopped one guy. I was like, "Do you have pain in your knee?" He said, "No." And I was like, "Okay, well, God bless you, man." I mean, he was kind of in a hurry. And so I was like, "I'm going to go get a movie because I don't have internet where I'm staying." I was like, "I'm going to go see if there's anything in the $5 bin." So there was a lady standing there, and I was like, "Anything good in here?" Just started conversation. A lot of times it's just starting conversation. And she was like, "No, there's nothing really good in here." And so we talked for a minute. And I said, "Hey, this may sound crazy, but I felt like God showed me that I was going to see someone with pain in their knees." And it was only one knee that I had, but I was too chicken to just say right knee. And she said, "Well, I only have pain in one of my knees right now. I only have like one of my knees." And I said, "Well, is it the right knee?" And she said, "Yeah, it is." And so she was like, "Well, what did God tell you about my knees?" And so I was like, "Well, let's pray for healing." And so we got to pray. Actually, she wasn't in pain at that moment, so I didn't get to see. But okay, how y'all doing? Sorry, this is a lot of information. And okay, so this next part I'm going to show you is a prayer model of how to pray for people for healing. It's one model, okay? It's not like I said, I don't want to box God into anything, okay? So it's a model, but I think it's a model that really requires a lot of faith. And so that's why I like it. And you can also see God moving, which is why I like it. So a lot of times I think what people do is you can be like, oh, can I pray for anything? Yeah, I'm sick. Okay, well, I'll be praying for you. Have a good day. I would say that's probably like, we want to, or if you're really bold, you say, can I pray for you right now? And you pray and then you walk away. Okay. This one, we're gonna see the Lord heal. We're gonna go through the process of seeing the Lord heal now. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. But so that's kind of the process. It's five steps, you know, whatever. But it's very easy. In light of stepping out in faith, this is not a word of knowledge, but I've kind of got a vendetta against stomach stuff right now. So does anyone have any stomach pain or having any stomach pain? You are? Okay, you want to come up here? And again, that was not a word of knowledge that I'm aware of, although sometimes God will give words of knowledge and you don't realize it. So this, we're going to do this as an example. So can I get somebody that's never prayed for anyone for healing? Anybody never prayed? Come on up here, man. Yeah. What's your name? Stephen. Stephen? Awesome.
That's my son's name.
Okay, anybody else? Okay. Okay, come on up here. Okay, and then could I get just one other volunteer? You could have prayed for people you might not. Could I get you to come up here? Yeah, would you mind? I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that. You look like you'd be willing. So, could you guys stand over here? Would you guys come stand over here? And you can come over here as well. And you can stay right there. Okay, so what's the stomach? So, okay, we're at Walmart, and we're standing in line, and this guy's in front of us. And we're like, hey, how are you doing today? I'm doing well. And I would just, if I don't know where to go, I'll just say, is there anything I can pray for you about? We're out, we've seen God do things. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Do you have any physical thing, need? And you would mention your stomach. So, but now I'm just curious, what's the stomach issue that you're having?
It just hurt.
Where does it hurt at?
Right here.
Okay. Awesome. I mean, it's not awesome, but that's not it. So here's the first step. The first step is we just approach somebody and we're getting information about what we're praying for. So you just step out. Like, again, it could be really simple. You could say, if you're in line, someone's in front of you, you got some time, just say, do you need prayer for anything? You know, sometimes we've seen God heal people. Or you can be honest, if you haven't, you could just say, I know that God can heal people. But I promise you, if you do this enough, I promise you'll see God heal people. I promise, because Jesus promised it. I would ask, you know, this is a way, and again, I think this is a faith thing, but the way they teach is to, on a scale of 1 to 10, like if you go to the hospital, they'll say, on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your pain at? If 10 is like, oh man, it's killing me, and 1 is hardly any pain. So I would ask them, so where is your pain level at on a scale of 1 to 10?
About a 4
right now? Okay. And how long has it been hurting? So I'm just going to get some information. If time allows it, I'm just going to get some information.
It just comes and goes.
Comes and goes. When did it start?
A long time ago.
Long time ago. Like 5 years, 10 years, something. Okay. Have you been to the doctor for it? I'm just curious. You have? Do they know the root issue of it or anything?
No, not really.
Okay. Okay. And it's like right around here?
Right in the middle.
Okay. So I'm just getting information here. Sometimes, and I'm growing in this, y'all, so I'm just sharing with you with what I've experienced, but I know there's a lot more, and you guys have probably experienced a lot more, some of you. Sometimes there can be root issues to things, and that's why I ask about when something started. I'm not saying this because of you. I promise, this is just part of the teaching. Sometimes there can be unforgiveness related to a specific issue. when it started, you know, okay, so yeah, you have this arthritis. When did that start? 10 years ago. Okay, what was going on 10 years ago? Oh, well, you know, that was a terrible year. All this stuff happened. You know, okay, well, what happened? Maybe there needs to be some forgiveness, some inner healing kind of thing that goes along with the physical healing. But if you're at Walmart in a line, you might not get the whole opportunity, you know, to do that sometimes, but who knows. So what I would then do is I would pray. And so the way that will work is I like to start with, you can do a petitioning prayer. I'm not going to get too technical, but you can ask the Lord, Father, will you heal them in Jesus' name? That's asking the Father to heal. But Jesus said, I'm going to read this real quick. From Matthew chapter 10, and it's also in Mark 16, and it's also throughout the whole New Testament. But so Jesus called his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. So Jesus gives us authority. We're not healing them, but we're using the authority of Christ to command in the name of Jesus, to speak to the condition in the name of Jesus. And it can be a real short prayer, but I always start by, I just invite the Holy Spirit to come, and then I speak to the condition and see what the Lord does. So that's step one, talking to the person. Step two, praying for the person. Just put it real simple. All right, Stephen, you want to come over here? And you guys can come over here. Now, in public, I don't always lay hands on people. But if you do, always ask, is it okay if we lay hands on you? Okay. So, Stephen, here's what I want you to do, man. You guys can come around and just put your hands on him.
You spell your name with a V. S-T-E-V-E-N. That's the way my son spells his name.
All right, Stephen. So what we're going to do is, Stephen, I want you to just put your hand right there on his stomach. Okay? And that's where it hurts? Okay. So, Stephen, can you repeat after me?
Okay.
Okay. Say, Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
For your healing power.
For your healing power.
And in the name of Jesus.
For the name of Jesus.
I command all pain to leave. In Jesus' name, pain, leave this stomach now.
In Jesus' name, pain, leave this stomach now.
Amen.
Amen.
It's gone.
Is it gone? So it's like
God,
at a zero now?
God sent you to me. God sent you to me.
So his stomach was hurting, and we just asked Jesus to remove the pain, and Jesus just took all of his pain out of his stomach.
Whoa.
Isn't that cool?
Yay.
Yay. Amen. All right, you guys can return to your seats. So it's at a zero now, for real.
At zero, yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's just give Jesus a hand real quick.
What's the other two steps?
Okay. So if he had said, okay, my pain is still at a four, or if he had said, okay, my pain's gone to a two. So the next step, after you pray, you ask, where's the pain at? He said it's at a zero. Okay, if it was at a two, we would go again. If it was at a four, we would go again. You can go as many times. Okay, Jesus took twice to heal somebody of blindness once. So that gives us 100 times, you know, whatever. So now it's important to follow up with him. It's important that you don't just pray for the person and walk away. Why? First of all, if God heals them. Okay, I think a lot of us don't go back because we're afraid, what if God didn't heal them? That's something we need to get over. Okay, and then you can pray again. Okay, and the reason it's also important, second reason, is sometimes if there is a demonic spirit of affliction, which is a real thing, okay, it's in the Bible, the way that that will tend to manifest when you're praying for people is either the pain will increase. So if they're like, wow, it just jumped up to a seven or a five or whatever. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of affliction. Simple. You have authority. It's not our authority. It's Jesus' authority. It's simple. Okay? It's not a lot of effort if you're a police officer to stand in front of traffic and tell it to stop. It doesn't take a lot of effort. Okay? Authority doesn't take a lot of effort. It's his authority. It's his power. So if it goes to a 7, or if it moves around, it's like, wow, it was in my stomach, but now it's in my knees. Now my knees are hurting. Now my back is hurting. Spirit of affliction, bind it in the name of Jesus. Okay? So you, they call it the interview. Then you pray. You re-interview. You may need to pray again. And then you just, the fifth step is what I would do, for instance, if we were in public, the Lord just heals this guy. God just healed you. Like, what do you think about that? Jesus just healed you. What do you think about Jesus now? Like, he may say, you know, like if you're in cell, maybe like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, I don't go to church or anything, but not that I'm not judging people that don't go to church. None of this is about judgment. But then you could say, you know, it opens the door for a conversation about the Lord. Or a lot of times the Lord will hit them. Like this one lady, I prayed for her and the Lord, she felt heat in her back. Oh, that's the third reason you want to re-interview. And I'm telling you, and I need you to know this, because about half the time the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in somebody's physical body. They may feel heat. This is important. Remember this, okay? They may feel heat. They may feel electricity. They may feel tingling. They may feel tugging around or something, okay? About half the time they get healed, 30% half the time they get healed, they may feel that. So ask them, do you feel anything when I was praying? That's part of the re-interviews, okay? I lost my train of thought. So it opens up a door of conversation. So they may be like, okay, this one lady, I prayed for her, and she brought up the end times. Like, a lot of times you don't even have to, because they experience God, and they're like, oh my gosh. She brought up the end times. She was like, well, they say, you know, the end times are coming. Like, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know. And I was like, well, I don't know about the end times a whole lot either. I know Jesus is coming back. And so she said, you know, I've been to church when I was younger. And I was like, well, here, do you just want to receive Jesus now? Like, do you just want to pray? Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. You know, do you believe he died and rose? Yes. Do you believe that he wants to save you and forgive you? Yes. Okay, let's pray. And we pray. She accepted Jesus. I prayed for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, I told her about our church, although it's not about our church. It's about the kingdom of God. But we've had people come to our church because they've heard about the Lord healing people, and that's always awesome. So I hope something landed in all of this. Also, when I was driving here, and this may be a miss, but I was asking the Lord for words of knowledge, and this is just what came to my mind, that there may be somebody who has, and it was really vague, but like something with one of their kids, like either they're just having trouble with one of their kids, or I don't know. Anyway, that's that. And then maybe somebody with like hip pain, so in the right hip. So anyway, that's that. Can I pray for us? Okay, can everybody just stand up and hold out your hands? I just want you to start asking the Lord right now. If you want to see the sick healed, if you want to get words for people, if you want more of the Spirit in your life, and it's all about Jesus. It's his work. It's his glory. It's our inheritance in Christ. Before I pray, I just want you to just ask him. Just start asking him now. Just pray for increase, Lord. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Lord, for increase in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your ascension. Thank you for pouring out the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I ask you, Jesus, to pour out words of knowledge on everyone here. I ask for an increase of boldness, Lord. Pray for an increased passion for your name, Jesus. There are people out there waiting, Lord, for the revealing of the sons of God. Just pray for more, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and start touching people now, Father. I pray for your healing anointing, Lord, to just flow on everyone here. Pray for your prophetic anointing to be released and to flow on everyone here. For the power of the Holy Spirit to come in Jesus' name. We can't do it without you, Jesus. Jesus' name.
Amen.